Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz to Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Severance Season 1, Episode 9, the season finale, The Wee We Are.
The Wee We Are. That's the Wee We. I feel a little Beavis and Butthead with this. or maybe Bart Simpson. I'm not really sure. But yes, we have the last episode of this season. We have our usual disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing, likely. If nothing else, quoting people. There will be spoilers for this show. Definitely, you know, we're at the end of season one. This is only a two-season series.
So far, there's going to be a season three eventually.
Barely. I thought they said maybe there wasn't. So I don't know.
No, there's a season three coming out.
Anyway, only two seasons so far, at least. And so we're halfway through. You should be too. And we are having something to drink. We both agreed, Natalie and I, that this is a champagne episode. That's for a number of reasons, but one of the main ones is because we see cocktail parties where champagne is being served, and so that was a major factor.
Just to note, there will be a season three, and they are expected to be filming throughout 2026 and releasing next year at some point.
Yeah, we're not going to deal with this as like a countdown to Bridgerton kind of situation. If we release it, we do. If we do, don't, we don't. Same with Ted Lasso. I mean, we like Ted Lasso, but we may or may not cover it on the show.
I feel like we'll probably cover Severance. Yeah.
Or Ted Lasso. We might. I'm not ruling it out. I'm just saying don't count on it.
Okay.
Or don't count on it like the breathless anticipation with which we await Bridgerton.
I'm not saying there's any anticipation, no. But, you know. I mean, like, you're not really highly anticipating this next Bridgerton season.
I really am not.
I mean, I'm curious to see what they do. I'm going to still watch it. But
I'm not saying I won't watch it unless I get really bored.
We'll see.
But anyway, that's a separate conversation. Getting back to Severance, let's get started.
I think we should probably do this with like going through fully each person. Yeah. So I think we start with Irving,
yeah,
then
Irving's
Kelly,
the shortest. Yeah.
Then Mark, or maybe Dylan first. Dylan's very fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dylan essentially is holding onto the switches, making sure everything's okay. Milchick eventually finds out from Cobell, which we will talk about later, that they are overridden. And so he goes running to the security office. Dylan, he has to saw through a rope that's holding the doors together.
I love this because there's bargaining that goes on. You're going to cover it?
Well, you can.
No, it's okay.
Okay. Yeah, there is some bargaining going on. And Milchick's like, there are rewards you don't even know about. There are coffee cozies. There's paintball. I don't know how they would do paintball down there, but they could, I guess. And do you want coffee cozies? And Dylan just goes, I want to remember my child being born. And Milchick's like, well, you have two other children. Do you want to hear about them? It's like, oh my God. Okay.
I'll tell you about them right now if you let me in here. And Dylan just
doesn't. But Milchick eventually gets through and tackles Dylan to the ground. He lets go of the switches and everyone switches back into their Audi form. But that is the end of this episode. But it's not the end of our episode because we have three other people to cover.
Right. So we got Irving.
Yes.
And so Irving,
I honestly, like, remembering this episode before we rewatched it, Irving was the one I remembered the absolute least. Right. I kind of figured he does do something that I and was expecting, but other stuff I was just like, I don't really remember what we learned about Irving.
Right. And I think Irving, you know, he serves a couple of purposes in this episode. There's not a lot to cover from a story perspective. So, like, he's painting, he comes to, or comes, whatever, he becomes his innie, and he realizes that he has a dog. He sees that there are military medals. There's a military trunk in his closet that he eventually opens up, and it has Navy uniforms and stuff that were his father's, but underneath that there's a false bottom.
I will say it's very funny, and like, not that people can't do this, but I found it very funny that the picture he finds, he turns over and it just says dad.
Yeah.
In case you didn't No, that was your dad.
I mean, it's helpful under
No,
these
it's very
circumstances.
helpful for storytelling purposes, but I did find that very funny.
Yeah, typically you're going to have like, whatever family or the names of people or something, but first names. Yeah,
Dad.
just in case. But so he has a false bottom to the trunk, and in that false bottom, there's a bunch of stuff about Lumen, including a list of severed employees, and a couple of them have addresses. One of them is Bert, and so he finds a map, finds, tries to figure out how he's going to get to Bert because he realizes that's the person I should talk to, and it's the person that I care about and trust and whatever, and I want to go find him. And so he.
Quick, not thinking through the fact that Bert will not have been reintegrated, so he would have to explain literally everything,
Everything, right?
including the fact that, you know what, I really like you.
Yeah,
Like he's not
thought
really
this through
taking,
terribly well.
no,
Yeah,
but I also understand the knee-jerk reaction of like, well, what else is he going to be
well,
able
and
to
it's
do?
emotional too for him because this is the person that he cares about and he wants to share. And it's this person that he feels like he trusts based on his any experiences with Bert. So he figures out he has car keys and he goes out in the parking lot and gets in a
He
park.
learns how to drive.
This is hilarious though, because each of our people who are on the outside when this any experience happens, they have to learn skills. They're having to learn everything in context. And so Irving learns to drive, but he's driving this car for me. It's very visceral, that feeling of it is an older, like 70s, early 80s model sedan that you can just smell the vinyl and you can smell that kind of ickiness. And he is kind of skidding on the icy roads and whatever, but he gets to Bert's. He sees through this kind of picture window that is at the house where Bert lives, that Bert has, I don't know if it's his husband or
A
whatever. He
partner.
has a partner, and that they're very close, but he still realizes he needs to talk to him. So he starts pounding on the door and yelling, Bert. And that's really all we see.
Yeah, that's all we see. Which was a little bit disappointing.
Yeah.
I kind of wish that at least there was a moment where he at least talked to Bert, or like I was about to, or so, like, I mean, he is
Wrote his
about
Audi
to.
a note, or
Like, did
something.
anything. Like, I felt like when I was watching it, I did figure he would look for Bert. I think that makes a lot of sense. However, I kind of wish he like found this big map with all the names on it, and I thought he was going to be like, well, I don't know how much time I have, so I might as well make the best of it, which is something that like very few of the innies actually do in the moment. Like him and Mark do not prioritize their time well at all.
No.
Like they do not have a sense of urgency,
Urgency, yeah.
whereas Helly does, but
Well, but they're all in environments where it is very difficult to say everything that you need to
well,
say.
Irv doesn't say a damn word, so
No, he
I think
doesn't.
of all the people, he could have a
But
sense of urgency.
also the most isolated too.
Yeah, but like he has an idea of like someone he could talk to potentially,
Yeah.
but either way, he it's lucky that Bert's address was in the directory. Anyway, he finds this map with like all the names on it, and you'd think that just in case he wouldn't be able to make it, he would grab like a marker, like circle it, his name a couple times, star it, write a note, be like, "Hey, Irving, please reach out to this person about what is going on in Lumen. This is what's going on in Lumen. Please, please, please reach out to this person if I don't make it there," or something.
Write a letter to him,
Not
something.
that Irving would ne his Audi would necessarily, oh, actually, not that his Audi would necessarily believe him. However, with what we know of Irving and his loyalty to the company, I highly doubt that there have been many, if at all, any instances of Irving trying to quit.
Right.
So I feel like his Audi would actually believe him. Anyway, so that's that. Then we go over to Helly.
Yep.
Helly, we have seen the least in her. Well, I say the least in her Audi form. We have not seen Dylan like we've seen him in a closet with a child. That sounds really bad. But in his Audi form, and that's basically it. But he chose to do this. However, Hallie, she is at a party and she is talking to Natalie of all people.
Yeah, she's at the big Lumen event that we saw them setting up for in the last episode.
And they're walking along. She's introduced to the senator's wife that who we met through
The birthing
Devin.
center. The birthing center.
Yeah, which she her, they talk they we find out that she's Helena Egan, who is the daughter of the CEO of
Hell is.
Lumen. And she's freaking the fuck out about it internally, of course.
Yeah, like holy shit.
And she is talking to the senator and his wife, and the wife is talking about, oh yeah, I wouldn't have been able to have three kids without severance. And it makes me think that, I mean, obviously we had our theories about like what that meant by the whole severance thing with the pregnancy. There is also a distinct possibility that we hadn't considered at the time that she fully got pregnant and then stayed in the birthing center for all 9 months of, or however long of her pregnancy. And just had a baby, and then she gets to her outie gets to live the life without all the pregnancy bullshit.
Right, without remembering any
Not the
of the.
pregnancy bullshit,
No, so.
but the struggles of pregnancy.
Right, so there are a bunch of people have different pregnancy experiences, and that's why I don't think anybody should approach this as a one size fits all kind of situation. I didn't love being pregnant, but none of it was horrifically awful. I just didn't love swelling up like a balloon every time I went outside, stuff like that because of the humidity. But some people absolutely love it.
Some
And
people thrive.
some people thrive. So why, again, it's not a one size fits all kind of thing. And it's not something I would want to forget. And honestly, a lot of people forget, physically painful things anyway. I mean, there's a lot of stuff about pregnancy I don't remember. There's a lot of like weird stuff happens to your body afterwards. I don't fully remember. I know parts of it.
The things you block out,
Yeah, there's a lot that you block out, and that's
but that's
normal.
normal and not severed.
Yeah.
But clearly, she wanted to break, block out all the awful parts of giving birth and like
Yeah, even
the
just being
physical
pregnant
stuff,
is weird.
which you still would feel the effects of giving birth, regardless of how long postpartum you get out of
One
that
would
birthing
imagine,
center.
yeah.
You'd still feel the effects. But anyway, she clearly made her choice.
Yep.
And so they're pro severance, and they are talking to Helly, and they're being like, oh yeah, no, it was after your speech, you're the spokesperson of severance and you love severance. And she's just like, no,
I
I
want to pause for just a second because the conversation we just had about pregnancy and was sounding all judgy about, like pregnancy and everything else. That is the kind of thing we hear at the party where Mark is from other people at the party, like all judgy about his sister having a baby at the party and stuff like that. And
Oh, I completely forgot about that. That
we
is.
can come back to that as a social construct later.
Oh, we
Just wanted to
will,
note
because
it.
that's bullshit.
It is.
Like, what else are you supposed to do with the baby?
Well,
If all of your
get a
friends.
babysitter.
Yeah, but it's your house.
Well, or have it at somewhere else and get a babysitter.
The baby's not doing anything. I think people will live if there's a baby present.
I don't think it's that. People get judgy about babies, pregnancy, breastfeeding,
Oh, the
breastfeeding,
breastfeeding thing
just
is bullshit.
all of it. There, you have no idea how verbal people are about how you raise your child. Society is fucked. Anyway, go
Society is
ahead.
fucked. Anyway, so Helly
Not a reason to
is
get severed. Pointing out.
absolutely not. Helly is going around this party, which is essentially almost like a museum of
Helly.
some kind, and it's the story of Helly as an innie, her
Right.
journey through severance.
All
And
the pictures Milchick took.
yes, so that's what he's been doing while he's been like clicking and stuff.
Yeah, he's been like documenting her severed journey.
And they're good pictures. They're all of her smiling and none of her being like hanging herself or threatening to cut off her fingers. Of course, imagine
Yeah.
I did say that at one point, like while she's like walking around and seeing all these pictures of her smiling face, and I'm just like, and then there's just the one of the security footage of her hanging from the elevator.
Right. I mean, nobody seems to want to talk about it until there's one encounter that she has where they do want to talk about it. But you've noted, like, she's walking around just being completely freaked out. And there is a speech that her outie gives about, oh, you know, it's so corporate. Like, as the
So
representative
it's an
of the
interview that was
family,
pre-recorded. It's not like what she says.
not what her innie would say, but
No.
her outie has given a pre-recorded interview that is part of this installment, this art thing.
The
And
employees are our family. And I never really understood that, but I also really wanted to be a part of this company in a very special way. I wouldn't make them do anything I wouldn't do. And so I got severed. And if I'm being honest, if you're looking at it from a business perspective, this is coming from someone who's looking at it purely just without any empathy. It is a great business move having somebody from the company, from
oh.
higher ups, who they actually care about participating in this procedure, and essentially, even though they don't really know this, not being treated any differently from anybody else down there. And obviously, they're documenting it to slant it in a particularly positive way, because why would they mention the suicide attempt? But it just, I think it's a very smart business tactic.
But they also have her saying things like, I don't feel like being severed separates us. It brings
Yes.
us together. It's like, whoa.
That's stupid. But
Whoa. Whoa. I know.
that's the talking points you give and
Yeah, it
this
is.
shit like that. But yeah, again, from a business perspective, it's a really smart move, and it's interesting the fact that, like, we just see the like corporate side of, and like interview side of Helena and her perspective on it, but we clearly saw that there is a lot of bite to Helena, and the fact that she views this procedure as like a complete bifurcation of your personality, and you are not a person, you are non-existent to me, you are subliminal, you are not worth my notice, you just are operating at 8 hours a day or 9 hours a day, and
Yeah,
I
like
do
she's the
not deal with
robot.
you.
Yeah, like she's the
Exactly.
robot. And it's interesting too, like she talks about her we hear a little bit later, she's told to use the talking point of, oh, your innie is your sister. It's like, that is not your opinion at all. That's not
Yeah.
how you feel about your innie at all. And this conversation she has, so because she's so surrounded by herself, she freaks out and goes to the bathroom, as one does. It
But
just
she can't
happens
even
every
escape a man there because her father walks
time.
in.
Her father walks in. Her father looks exactly like Kier. I guess he's Kier's son. I think he's
Yeah,
Kier's
because
grandchild of
yeah, I was about to
Kier.
say, because they mentioned your grandfather, and so I guess that's Kier. I forget what this guy's name
Yeah,
is.
I do too. But her dad comes in and he's like, oh, I couldn't believe it when I saw what she that
No, when he
what
heard.
when I heard what that other one had done to you, or what that thing had done to you, referring to any.
Like, I am so sorry. She went to the hospital and nobody knew why.
No one
That
knew
makes no
anything.
sense to me that they were not monitoring her like a hawk, especially during this experimentation phase when you have a launch coming soon. You have to watch everything that's happening. And obviously, Cobell was sweeping certain things under the rug. But the fact that they didn't know about the hanging of all things, even if the security footage was wiped, which we are presuming it was, even though they have screenshots of it, they. Her go she they said that she went to the hospital and she was recovering. So even if she wasn't at the hospital and was just recovering, she missed several days of work
Well,
and they didn't notice.
maybe she went to one of those other severed floors to
I
get
don't know about
treated
that.
to get for the hospital. They have a wellness center, and what the hell?
Helly would have remembered that. Helly came back down in
Yeah,
the severed floor and
that's true. I don't know.
But either
But
way, I think it's very odd. I can understand the like complete it shows that they're not close as a father and a daughter,
oh yeah, no kidding.
obviously, but and it shows that very well.
Well, he says this other thing. Like, he talks about, oh, I'm so proud of you for doing this because I remember the day I brought the chips home, the chips that they use for severance. And back then they were a certain color. And you said they're so pretty, everyone should have one. And now everyone will, because we'll all be severed and united in care. It's like, oh Lord Almighty, this is terrifying. And clearly for the innie that's listening to this, she's like,
Poor Hallie is just kind of like, okay. This coming from the suicidal Innie, who
Jack.
really does not want anything to do with Severance. Of course, it's her who is his daughter and having to go through the Severance thing because it's a PR stunt. And so, I mean, it's just, it's insane. But I mean,
Thanks, Death.
thanks, Dad. Thanks, Quick Spell. But yeah,
Awesome.
there's that weird interaction with her dad, and she looks in the mirror after he leaves and she recites the apology she had to give 1,073 times
Yeah,
in
that
the break
atonement
room
thing. Ugh.
into her reflection, and she has made a decision that she's going to fucking speak out about against the severance procedure in
Yes.
her speech.
Yes.
And there are clearly a lot of shareholders present. It's a very important speech, and obviously this
The
night is all about
board is
her.
there.
Yeah, the board's there. Natalie again gives the talking point of your sisters. It's like a sister that wants to fucking kill you.
No. Not
Your Siamese sisters, who one of them
that.
wants to kill themselves. And then so she's about to go on stage. Cobell at this point has already figured out the fact that there's an override going on, and she runs to Helly and doesn't really do much. She just,
She grabs her and she's like,
again,
no.
the lax security in this building is astonishing. But she goes straight up to Helly, who should be the most guarded person of the night, and goes up to her and is just like, oh yeah, are you you? Is it you? And Helly's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And she's just like, it is you. It's like, okay.
And so Helly's like, I'm gonna burn your company to the ground
And
and
Cabal
go.
makes a switch real
Yeah,
quick.
she's like, Rah!
Cabal goes, they're going to keep your friends alive and torture them. They are going to feel so much pain. They are going to be, they are going to suffer. And I mean, she's just like, okay.
Like that changes nothing.
And then
They're
Cabal
going
just
to
like lets
anyway.
her go on stage anyway.
Well, because she can't stop her because the doors open and spotlight's on Helly and she
Everyone's
realizes,
not dragged away
yeah,
at all, even though
no, she should be,
Natalie
should be.
was, well, she's on stage, but like
Yeah.
other people should know about Cabal's
Yeah.
letting go.
Yes. Yeah.
Not resignation, but like
Firing.
firing.
Dismissal.
Dismissal,
Let
that's the one. Think about
it go.
it. We're going in a different direction. And
Sorry,
you're
we're all
part of
suffering
a permanent
different.
outplacement something.
Yeah. Oh, wait, we've got the wrong lever and everything else going on with the Emperor's New Groove here.
Love that movie.
But anyway, so
Anyway,
anyway, she goes to be make the speech.
and she already made the decision. She's just like, I'm an innie. They fucking torture us down there. This is
Oh, this is a lie.
inhumane. This is all a lie. And they were prisoners. And as she's being like dragged off the stage, and then she gets flipped back into her Audi. No.
Yes, and finally we have
Mock.
Mark. Mark. So
Mock.
Mark, we'd seen that he had gone to his sister's party when Supervisor Lady is hugging him at the party and saying, oh yeah, you should leave, whatever. That's when the switch gets flipped. And he kind of stiffens, is like, oh my God, it's fucking Cobell. And
Well,
the
he's also
tugging
being
name.
hugged
Yeah,
by,
it's
like,
like,
he doesn't see her initially, but, like, he's being hugged.
hug.
It's like, what the fuck is
Yeah, and
happening?
he's kind of like, oh my God, I can't be married to her. But because, of course, in his mind, like he has this whole rich life and he doesn't know anything about it. And so he's trying to piece all of that together. He goes around the party kind of like asking, like, are we close? Like, are we friends? You kind of
What I
thing.
will say is, I think that Mark is the most, he's the one I bought the most as like, this is what an innie would do. And obviously, like, Helly couldn't talk to anybody at that party. As soon as she found out who she was, she couldn't talk to fucking anybody. So I understand her. Irving wasn't around enough people, even though he could have gone to Bert earlier, but
Or we got into like Aunt Evelyn. Anyway,
But
go
Mark
ahead.
is the one who is surrounded by people who are expecting to talk to him and talk to him about just like personal stuff instead of just like corporate, whatever, severance stuff. So he has to learn way more about himself in a much quicker time span. And so he goes up to his sister and is just like, our baby. But she's just like, if you mean like being like it takes a village, yeah, I guess. But
Yeah, and then
and she's just like, I do want to talk to you about what we were talking about earlier, blah blah blah. It's like, oh God, okay, now I have to figure out what we were talking about
yeah,
earlier.
and he's kind of like, yeah, sure. And so he, but yeah, because the baby needs to be fed or something. The party is primarily a launch party for the brother-in-law's book,
It's
and
a
then
reading.
there's a read. He always wants to do a reading of some kind. So he does starts the reading part, and Mark has he's supposed to share books with somebody else. This one of the women they've tried to set him up with,
He has
and
his copies at the office, and if he was given a new one, he doesn't have it.
right, and so he is looking off of this other copy, and Cobell comes up and is like hovering over his shoulder, and she's like, "Oh, I want to see, because she's starting to think maybe something's wrong just based on what she saw in the change of his demeanor.
And I will say, and this goes for everybody, but their performances as innies acting as outies are fantastic. Especially, I really did actually see this, especially this time around, the change in Adam Scott's performance and like how he completely stiffens. He talks like way more like, oh yeah, absolutely, instead of in like the sarcastic, like off-put way that he usually does. And he was way more open. It's just like, we're close. Yeah, totally. But I could totally see why Cobell had suspicions about him. And so yeah, she's literally breathing down his neck. Did we want to talk about the whole pregnancy, like faux pas of, or not f pregnancy, but faux pas, but having a child and like breastfeeding them at the party and how people were judging
Oh yeah,
his
so
sister?
in as part of Mark trying to like figure out what's going on, he goes into the kitchen, and there are two of the people that had been at the dinner party way earlier in the season, the pretentious people, and they're clearly having an argument about whether or not Mark's sister should have the baby at the party. And you know, do you think it's just wrong to have a baby? Because you know it's a little soon, and there are germs, and you know, like whatever. And Mark's like, "That's my sister." You know, like
Well, it's just him figuring it out,
yeah.
but it's truly a statement of like, yeah, that is your
That's,
sister. Like,
yeah.
these
Yeah.
people.
Well, that is her his sister. He shouldn't have to like weigh in on this. And the guy in this couple of people who are talking about this is just like, "Well, yeah, but you know, I think we have a right to say something." He's like, "What is wrong with you?" "No, you don't. Shut
It's not your
up.
baby.
It's not your baby, none of that." So,
Like, if it was your party and you were hosting and you said no children and she brought a baby, you could have an issue with that.
yeah,
But it's her party.
it's her party, and of course, you know, there's like no whatever,
There's
whatever.
no reason to be pissy about it. Anyway, so yeah, Mark is still trying to figure things out. And after the reading,
But he
his.
realizes that he's seen the book before. This is
Yeah, that
important
too.
being for him because as an innie, he thinks this book is fucking great. As an outie, he thinks it's the moronic bullshit that it
And
is.
Rickon
The brother-in-law.
dedicates the book to his daughter, and so
He's like, "Oh, my
yeah,
brother-in-law."
exactly. And so after the reading's done, Devin's like, I'm gonna go try to give the baby a bottle. I do want to talk to you. Meet me in the baby's room. Give me a couple minutes. And so he goes out and talks to Rickon, and is like, your book changed my life. And Rickon doesn't believe him because it's like, why would Mark suddenly be like all enthusiastic about his writing? But this Mark is actually genuine about how it changed his life and it changed his perspective. And it, yeah, I mean, it's great. And Rickon really appreciates that. And he starts reminiscing about old times with him and Gemma and brings up Gemma as his wife. And Mark immediately wants to see a picture that Rickon mentions, but Rickon gets pulled away because he needs to flush his sinuses. Anyway, so
Sorry.
Mark is back inside, and Cobell, he's on his way to go help his talk to his sister because he is ready after he's like established that him and his sister are close. He wants to tell her all about the fact that he's the innie and wants to come clean and tell her about what's going on in there, which I think is a really good plan. I think that that makes a lot of
It
sense.
does.
Find a person you trust. either in or out of the office, and please just get them all the information you can
Right.
before time runs out. And so he's going there, but Cobell stops him because she is like, are you okay, Mark? I think you're
You're
acting a little
sniffing a
bit
minute
weird.
ago.
And
Ew.
Mark tries to
Don't do that. Sorry.
Mark tries to dismiss it and accidentally calls her Miss Cobell. He doesn't know that she goes by a different name as an
Right,
outie,
right.
and so as an innie, he doesn't know that she goes by a different name.
Right.
And so he calls her Miss Cobell, and she immediately knows. And so she goes rushing off to like go talk to Milchick and get it all shut down.
Well, she doesn't immediately go because what she does before
Oh
she
yeah.
goes is she is trying to follow him to his sister, trying to follow Mark. And Mark's sister's like, oh, Miss, whatever her outie name is,
Sylvan.
can you take the baby? I need to talk to Mark. And she's like, oh, is Mark okay? And she's like, yeah, Mark's fine. Just can you take the baby for a minute? Because the baby's fussy. And so she gives the baby to supervisor. And when they are at the end of their conversation, we see the time has passed because since we all know what Mark's telling his sister's kind of like, oh my God, are you serious? We need to like figure out who we can tell about the severance floor to actually get it, purged or whatever.
Her mind immediately goes to journalists rather than the police because the police are in Lumen's pockets.
Right. And Mark says, like, oh, my supervisor, Miss Cobell's here. And she's like, what are you talking about? The sister's kind of like, what are you talking about? And he describes what his supervisor's wearing. And she realizes, oh my God, she's got the baby. And rushes out before they can get to this one other part of the conversation that Mark wanted to get to. Because he asked, he's like, my one real question is, why did he, my outie, put me in there? And his sister's already talked about Gemma a little bit when they talk about Cobell. And so she rushes up before they can talk about
She
Gemma
tells
more.
him essentially what she told Cobell as well, of like, oh yeah, well, a little bit more detail of how she died, but like, yeah, you have a wife named Gemma.
She
You
was
were a
wonderful.
teacher. She was amazing. We were all really close, and we heard a little bit of that from Rickon as well. They went on trips. They went hiking, whatever. And then she died in a car accident. She hit a tree, and so Mark's just like taking that all in, whatever. And then she freaks the fuck out, rightfully so, about this crazy lady having her child, and they can't find the child, and Cobell's already left in her car, and so she's thinking maybe she took the kid.
And we, at this point, are seeing Cobell driving like a fucking maniac and thinking the baby's in the car with her.
Very concerning. But
Yes.
the baby is not there. It is in a different room. Mark.
Which I have to point out that the obnoxious guy
Yes,
from the
I
kitchen
was gonna say.
conversation, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead.
He comes in, he's like, I found the baby, which clearly Mark did. It's like he's just being, ugh.
But Mark is drawn to a couple of framed pictures on the nightstand, and so he goes over there and he sees his face, and he's looking at somebody else, and so he's like, oh my God, maybe this is a picture of my wife, and it's from their wedding day, and he picks it up and he sees that it's Miss Casey, and he is horrified. And this is one of my absolute
I
favorite
love
fucking
this.
moments, maybe in TV. I love this moment. Maybe not TV, but like especially in this series is my favorite, probably my favorite moment.
Easily.
And it is Adam Scott just completely crumbling, realizing that his outie thinks his wife is dead, but his wife is alive, but she is trapped in the severance floor. And so he's tearing up, he's angry, he's scared, and then he immediately is like, oh my God, I need to tell Devin. And so he starts running through the house, yelling Devin's name. And then once he finds her in the living room, he reaches to a halt and yells, she's alive.
Shows the picture. He's holding the picture,
He
I
doesn't
think.
show the picture. He has the picture in his hand,
Yeah,
but
but he says she's alive, and that's
I think when I first watched that, I rewound that at least 3 times. I
and the
love that
performance is
moment.
great. Yeah, performance is terrific. All right, so that's the episode.
And what a cliffhanger.
Yeah, what a cliffhanger. So what were your best parts?
My best parts are she's alive. I love that moment. It's
She's
such a great
alive,
moment.
like Frankenstein.
Yeah, it kind of has a similar intonation of Similar line reading, really. I really love that moment. I think that honestly, I'm a little bit torn because I really do love that we found out before about Miss Casey, but at the same time, imagine if we didn't know until that moment.
It does. It still feels like a shock when it was.
It does. It does. And it makes you like, I remember when I first watched it, I was just like, oh, please tell her. Please get to Devon enough quickly enough that you can tell her that she's alive,
Well,
rather than just being like immediately snapped out of it.
and so much of what makes this have such a great impact is Adam Scott's performance. I think that's terrific. Absolutely. So, anything else?
Innie's night out. I love getting to see the Innie's outies. I think it's fun. Helly twist is fantastic. I love that twist. The one person who hates the Eakins the most is an Eakin. That's so
That can
funny.
be so true, you know,
It's so
people hate
funny.
their fans.
Well, and also hates her outie so much. Mark telling Devin everything, even before like the whole she's alive thing, him telling her that, oh, I'm the Innie. This is all that's going on. I love that he gets all of that out there so that someone that they know and trust can maybe help them and tell his outie what happened. Because a lot of these people, well, Helly would be able to find out, but Irv wouldn't. Irv just n randomly like screeched and knocked at a str supposedly stranger's door, yelling Bert, and he probably won't know what's going on after he snaps out of it. Whereas Helly could be told, oh my God, this is a really big fucking deal. You just said that. And obviously Mark can be told, all right, this is what your innie said. Now we need to figure out what's going on. And yeah, that's what I wrote.
All right. I'm all I
And
wrote
Dylan
down.
for holding it that long.
What I wrote was the MDR group. I think all of them do a terrific job with this, but especially Mark and Hallie. I think both of their performances are outstanding in this episode. I really love everything you talked about. Just, you know, there's so much really well done drama in this episode. There's that sense of tension, the sense of urgency. All of that, I think, is really well developed here. What are your worst points?
Cobell, oh my God, Rickon and Milchick,
Why do we put Rickon? We shouldn't.
especially Cobell. Well, Rickon wasn't too bad, but he's just obnoxious. Cobell, her heel turn after last episode, being like, "Yes, Mark, leave, quit," and then her in this episode just being like, "We need to get them in. They'll make Mark suffer, Helly." And it's just like, what?
Yeah,
Why are
so
you trying to do any of that? Why do you even fucking care anymore?
right,
I
you
think
were
and now this
fired
is a
by these
last ditch
people.
effort to like get back in their good graces. Like, what?
It makes no sense from what we understand of her or the show at this point, but it made no sense for her in the last episode to say, yeah, leave, because you know she's pissed because they fired her, but she hasn't changed really from being a true believer. Now, we did see in the last episode, I don't think we mentioned this too much, her tearing up her little shrine to Kier and everything else. So, like, she's having some self-doubt in the moment, and it's emotionally based. And so maybe that's part of what happened. But I think some part of her, she just so desperately wants to be right about something. And the fact that she's right about the fact that MDR is trying to get out is so important to her. Like, it's very important to her to be able to say to the board, ha, I told you all along, you know, that kind of thing. It's much more important to her to be that person than to do anything that's morally right.
She would rather be ju right and justified and it rather than moral.
Go ahead.
No, that's fine.
Other weather worst parts? Nothing else?
Rickon and Milchick.
Yeah, Milchick definitely a worst part, although I find this bargaining of, oh, we have coffee cozies. Oh my
That's
God.
funny, but then he brings the
Oh,
children into
so
that,
menacing.
and then it's
So
what I
menacing.
love about Dylan is, you know what that line reminds me of? That line reading reminds me of? It reminds me of in Princess Bride when Inigo Montoya is facing the six-fingered man, and the six-fingered man is like, I'll give you anything, gold, jewels, whatever. And then Inigo Montoya goes, I want my
My
father
father,
back, you
you
son
son
of
of a
a bitch.
bitch. Yeah, exactly.
Very similar of like, well, I can give you coffee cozies. I want to remember
My
my
child,
children.
yeah, I want to remember my child's birth, you son of a bitch. Yeah, exactly. Milchick's awful. The supervisor we've talked about her. She's just dread and like so insidiously dreadful. I mean, on so many levels, it's awful. And the brother-in-law. Yeah, I didn't put him down, but whatever. What grade did you get this episode?
I gave it an A, but it might be an A plus.
Oh, that's a hard question. It's difficult being
The one thing that's bringing it down ever so slightly, and it's
Yeah.
not because of performance, it's not because of anything like that. It's more just what they left some stuff on the table is Irv. And because I think that Helly and Mark and Dylan, like they all have amazing stuff in this, amazing moments in their own right, and like some big plot developments. Whereas Irv, I don't feel like I learned much about him. We get a sense that his PTSD from the military might have something to
Was he in
do.
the military? I didn't think he was in the
He had
military.
medals and shit.
That was where his dad's.
All of them?
I thought
Because I
so.
thought there was like an army colored uniform, and then his father was in the Navy.
I don't know. I could be wrong.
Regardless, there is some kind of
Trauma.
trauma associated with maybe his dad, maybe it's the military. We don't really get many answers on that. And we spend most of Irv's time like just looking at all these fucking paintings of the exact same thing, and then
That's a
him
sign of trauma.
potentially going to Bert, even though we have absolutely no idea how he would have seen that
Well,
hallway.
right. I mean, so that
But
there's,
that's mystery, but you
well,
know.
it's his subconscious talking, obviously. And I do think that I agree with that on some level, but
It's still not bad.
if our standard is that for an A plus, is that you could watch this episode in isolation. I think you could watch this episode in
I
isolation and
agree.
enjoy it. So I guess that's probably an A plus.
I think it
It is
is an
an
A
excellent
plus.
episode.
It's a it's the I think it's definitely among the best episodes of the series.
Yeah.
I think if I'm remembering correctly, there might be two others that I really love in season two. I don't know if they're A plus, but I
I
do
remember not
remember.
liking season two as much, but I can't remember why. So we're gonna have to
Well,
see.
let's actually discuss what we remember from our subconscious of season two, of not subconscious.
Oh no,
What we
I
remember.
don't think give too much away.
No, I'm just talking about like I feel like there are some really high highs, but also really low lows. Whereas like I think a mediocre episode from season one was still entertaining and like mystifying enough to keep you engaged and just kind of like chilling. And then have really high spikes of like, ooh, plot moving forward. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Whereas in season two, you have so many things to answer and so many things to deal with that some are like done in an interesting way with like maybe a new character or maybe a new setting. But there are some episodes, there's one in particular that I know I didn't like the first time I watched it. And I know we both know the same one. And then there are others that like, oh my God, that's a huge twist. And
Yeah, I feel like it's uneven,
it
and
is
that
uneven.
the parts I didn't like, I remember not liking a lot. So, my recollection of season two is not as specific, I think, as yours, as often happens. I kind of binge
Well, I only
burned.
watched it once, but
I
you
only
know.
watched it once too. So, what we're gonna have to see. Are you looking forward to watching it?
I
Sharing it
am
with me?
because I haven't seen it in a while, much like
Right.
season one, but I feel like I remember.
Season one more clearly. I definitely.
Yeah, I think so. I think I remembered the major beats more in season one, whereas in season two, I remember some of the later half, but not much of the beginning.
So I'm looking forward to refreshing my memory. I hope that it is something that y'all want to join us for. You hope that? Yes. Yes. Yeah. We hope that you join us. And
Cheers.
cheers.